Gracious God, open our ears that we may hear your truth. Open your eyes, open our eyes that we may see your kingdom. And open our hearts and minds that we might know the cries of our brothers and sisters who are hurting and hungry and sometimes even dying without the knowledge of your love for them. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. Well, apparently, it'll be on the market soon. Pampers brand disposable diapers just announced that a new high-tech version of their product is about to be made public. Yep, you guessed it. You knew it was coming. You could feel it coming. But are we ready for a digital diaper? This digital diaper features a sensor that will alert your smartphone announcing that your baby's diaper needs to be changed. Now, of course, to get that information, you will need to pay for these new and more expensive diapers. Then you'll need to download and, of course, pay for an app that will be linked to the diapers that your baby is wearing. That's right. That's right. You guessed it. A nappy app. Now, let's pause for a second. Really? Seriously? Anyone anywhere who has ever cared for a baby knows exactly when that baby needs to be changed. That baby will fuss, cry, scream, and it won't make any difference whether it's 3 p.m. or 3 a.m. They're going to let you know. Any child is naturally capable of making its needs known and in no uncertain terms. God gave every child all the technological gimmickry and gadgetry that's necessary to make its wishes known. And good parents instinctively and immediately know how to respond. No matter how tired they are, no matter how late at night it might be or early in the morning, there's no way that a loving parent is not going to rouse themselves and tend to their child's needs. Now, they may put it off for a while, but they'll get to it. Parents don't need an app to tell them that their child is in distress. They only need the love that's within them to know that. Now, as silly as this proposed new product is, it does remind us of this week's gospel text. And y'all are probably wondering, how in the world does it do that? Well, this is a text that's all about the presence of true parental love. Imagine for a moment that you're one of the 12, one of Jesus' first disciples. Think what it's like to be the only ones to hear and observe Jesus as he prays. You see, Jesus doesn't pray to some distant, omnipotent deity. Jesus doesn't pray just the traditional Jewish Kaddish or the Kiddushat that addressed God only as the sanctified Hashem, the sanctified but respectfully unnamed address to the Lord. Instead, Jesus unabashedly and unashamedly addresses his prayers to his Abba, that intimately familiar term for one's parent. We might have our small children call them Daddy or Papa. In Luke's text this week, the Latin term, more formal and stately sounding, is used, the term Pater or Father. Still, it's an address that is first and foremost about an intimate emotional connection, the relationship between a beloved parent and a beloved child. Earlier in Luke's gospel, the apostle told of Jesus' response to the return of his 70 disciples that he sent out to preach and teach. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Now, let's just say it. Jesus knew that he had the cool dad. And so did everyone who was able to be a witness to that relationship. Every one of his disciples wanted to have a relationship with that same cool dad as well. Now imagine once again that you're one of Jesus' disciples and you get to actually see him praying, and how different his attitude must have been from the prayer stances that these first century Jews must have been familiar with. Jesus' connection and completion when he was in prayer with his Abba, his Father, was so engulfing and embracing that his closest followers and friends couldn't help but notice how different and how special his relationship was with the one to whom he was praying. This week's text starts out with the disciples asking Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples. Now, it was common for different teachers of the Torah to bequeath their students a prayer that would identify them and unite them as a group. But when Jesus responds to their request to bless them uniquely with their own Jesus prayer, he offers a prayer that is utterly generic and non-proprietary. There's nothing in what we call the Lord's Prayer that distinguishes any individual followers of any specific teacher. And Luke's version is shorter and more succinct than Matthew's, but it presents a distilled version of Jesus' basic prayer. And both prayers that don't set apart Jesus' disciples from other rabbis and give them a unique identity. Rather, this prayer sweeps all of us into a prayer that all children of the Father can pray together as one or in common. Now, the first thing that we should note is that this is not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. A prayer towards God that persons of faith can repeat with compassion and conviction each and every day. And yes, the words can become familiar and rote, but it's in that rote familiarity that these words become a comfort to us, just as they have been a comfort to the generations of Jesus followers that have gone before us. The words that Jesus gives to his disciples are a gift of an entryway into Abba's presence. They're not words that exclaim any special place for themselves. They're simple words that thank God for the continual nurturing presence that all humanity has received for a common parent and creator. What's most telling about this week's text, however, is not the prayer itself. It's what Jesus does next after he gifts his disciples with their prayer. Instead of giving a PowerPoint theological exposition of this clause means this and that words means that, Jesus immediately shifts into storytelling mode. He gives a prayer which he attaches to a tale and then another tale. The disciples' prayer comes with a tale. His first story is of a neighbor that nobody would ever want. This neighbor has the audacity to come pounding on the door of his next door neighbor at midnight. He comes asking for bread for an unexpected visitor. Now, nobody in the 21st century would ever dream of doing such a thing. It's highly doubtful that anyone in the 21st century even knows who their next door neighbor is, much less would want to go ask them for anything, especially in the middle of the night. But in first century Palestine, community connections were everything. Community connections meant everything. Neighbors were lifelines, and traditions of hospitality were sacrosanct. To not be able to offer a visitor bread was a huge embarrassment. It was a terrible social and religious failure. It was a fatal faux pas for that community. But the action of the caught short neighbor is remarkable. Not only does he pound on the door of his neighbor wanting a solution to his problem, but he keeps on pounding. He bangs and bangs on that door without hesitation in order to make something right in his own life. He's relentless and he keeps on pounding. He's free to importune so fearlessly because he has a living relationship with his neighbor. They're connected. They're bound by geography, by family, by theology, by heritage, and most importantly in that community, by honor. That's what Jesus teaches to his disciples when they pray. People who pray in the way of Jesus' disciples don't so much offer up words as they offer up themselves. We lift up all of our relationships to God, to ourselves, to others, to creation, to the God whom we are praying. You see, relationships don't have rules, because real relationships break all the rules. Real relationships convict you to make connections that you never thought you would make. Real relationships change you and cause you to do things that you never thought you would do. Prayer produces feats of almost lunatic daring. That's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, this disciples' prayer. It was a prayer with a story addendum, an add-on, a tale. And the tale made the prayer more personal, more profound, more present every day for every one of those disciples. The Lord's Prayer and the stories that follow it are Jesus' way of showing us that God is present all the time and everywhere. God wants to know what we want. God wants to know what we desire. God wants to know what is hurting us all the time. God wants our questions. And any question you have, God can handle, no matter how big, how small, how often. Jesus told us to pray to our Abba, to ask our daddy for whatever we think we need, whatever that is, whenever we need it. Now, we might not get it, because a good parent doesn't always give a child what they ask for when they ask for it. But a good parent always hears the child and responds to the child, and they don't need some smartphone app to do it. And then that action, or that parent takes action to comfort that child. And the next time, friends, that you think something is too small for you to bother God with, remember your own children or nieces or nephews. There's no scratch, no hurt, no question that's off limits to them if you're in the family. And sisters and brothers, we are in God's family. God cares for you. As it says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your cares on Him, because God cares for you. Day or night, God cares for you. Little or big, God cares for you. Or this is how our ancestors put it in the words of Sevilla Martin. Be not dismayed, whate'er beside, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Friends, we're all children of that Heavenly Father. A Father who loves us enough that while we were yet sinners, God proved his love for us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus wanted to lead us back to our Abba, our Papa. And this prayer calls us to a depth of relationship that puts us fully into this game of life, not as spectators, but as full participants in God's powerful love and grace as we seek to be part of what God is doing right here in the world today. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing.